But tonight I want to just share the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. But once you've looked it up, put your finger in the place, because I'd like just to read Psalm 34 before we start. David was like Jeremiah. He was a man who faced many difficulties, and yet he sought faithfully to serve the Lord. And both these men went through difficulties, and yet God was ever gracious to them. And we find in Psalm 34, when David had been going through times of difficulty, yet he constantly always came back to the Lord to seek his hand upon him. And he says these words in Psalm 34, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. And this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lion lacks and suffers hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongues from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and he delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. But many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned." Wonderful psalm from David, having he'd gone through a difficult time, was able to say he always trusts in the Lord. God always hears you when you cry to him. And is that not the same in Jeremiah? Because we find in Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah in his situation, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things that you never knew." Now Jeremiah, as we all know, and there's no need to go into the depth, but indeed Jeremiah was indeed a great prophet, a prophet of God. He served God. He had a long and distinguished career, as it were, serving God, though he went through many difficult times. He was from one of the distinguished lines of priests of Anathoth, and he came from a little village that was northeast of Jerusalem. But because he was a prophet, as we often find in Scripture and certainly through the Old Testament, he always found himself as the opposition. Because when God spoke to the prophets, these men of God went out and they declared to the people and to the leaders what God was trying to tell them. Although they often found that it was in total opposition, because God was crying out to them because they'd wandered away from the things of God. And although Jeremiah had been there as God's prophet, and he served under three kings, It wasn't till he came to Zedekiah that he found that Zedekiah said, "Enough's enough. This man is like a pain in the neck. He's constantly speaking against what we want to do. He speaks out." And so he gets rather annoyed with him. He calls him a bit of a traitor, and he puts him in prison. And it's there we find that Jeremiah is, in chapter 33, when we find that God speaks to him for the second time. But you know, one of the things we do find is that I'm sure that we all read many books. We all have great encouragement from some of the books written by some of the great saints of God, don't we? And yet, when you look into their lives, you often find that what you're reading is what they write because God has taken them through a difficult time. And one other man that we all know of his book so well, who was cast in prison for his faith, was John Bunyan. He was cast in prison because of his faith when he spoke out for God. And yet, what does he do when he's in prison? He writes. God gave him that wonderful ability. And there we find that Pilgrim's Progress, a book that so many people, so many Christians, look back on and say, wow, how wonderful it was. And there are many, many other writers, when you perhaps look at their background, they will tell you, I've come out of a difficult time. And that is when you find that they put pen to paper. They write down what God has been doing for them. And it encourages our spiritual walk. And many, it's because of their own personal experience. Another great saint of God, and you've perhaps read some of his books, was Rutherford. He was another man who preached the word of God and faced a lot of opposition. And he does it a slightly different way. He says whenever he was going through a difficult time, he felt that he was cast into the cellars of affliction. That was his words, the cellars of affliction. But he goes on to say, as he was reading scripture and as he was dealing with people, he realized that the cellars were the places where everyone kept their best wine. So he says, for me, if I'm down in the cellars of affliction, I will seek there for some rare sustenance that God will provide for me. But later on, when he goes through another serious time, this time he puts it down. He says, he calls it the sea of affliction. But then he goes on to say, when you're deep down in the sea of affliction, God touches your life. And when he lifts you up by gum, you find some rare, precious pearls, don't you? But later on he says, if you do want to find the diamonds, well, you might have to dig a bit deeper. And he was meaning there, you may well find that God's hand is even harder upon you. So here we are tonight, just looking at the situation that we find ourselves in, a nation, a godless nation. Things are going perhaps from bad to worse. We're finding that there are even Christians in this land of ours that we never thought 10 years ago or so would be persecuted. People would lose their jobs. They would be going through difficulties. But here we find, do we not, a situation with Jeremiah. And we find as we read through it in these three verses, let's just read them together. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison. There he was in prison. He'd been put aside because he was standing up to the things that God had given him. For thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. And what does he say to Jeremiah? And I love this, I'm sure we all memorize this, we know of by heart. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But here is not just some simple instruction, because when you look into its real interpretation, God is commanding. It's a command. It's not just well, if you call to me, he's commanding Jeremiah, call to me and I will. He's getting a promise there. And you know, when you think on it, and we look at our state of health, and in the news we've just seen that we're going to try and sort out the health service. We're going to build some new hospitals, and we're going to make it possible. But we can build these hospitals to help us in our physical needs. But we're not commanded by law anywhere that we have to use them, are we? There's no law that says if we've got a hospital in your town, you must use it. But we go there because we want to find a solution to our problem. And there is no act of Parliament made to force us to use any of the many supporting agencies that governments put in place to try and help and encourage people in their difficulties. In fact, I sometimes think we keep it rather quiet, hoping that not too many people will actually come and use these facilities. But here was Jeremiah, and he's been put in prison. And there's a wonderful illustration of faith that we get from this. Because if you look back in chapter 32, and you can read that when you go back home, but God has been telling Jeremiah, go and tell Nebuchadnezzar, go and tell Zedekiah that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come as a punishment because the nation of Israel has turned away from my word. Israel has sinned and turned away from their God. And so God tells Jeremiah, I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army, and they are going to come and punish you. And when he prophesies this to King Zedekiah, that's when the king gets fed up with him and puts him in prison. But God also, in chapter 32, verse 7, gives Jeremiah wonderful assurance. He tells him that he's going to restore Israel. And to such an extent, and how strong is the faith that Jeremiah has, that it tells us that when his uncle, Hanamel, asks him if he wants to buy his field there in Anathoth, Jeremiah jumps at it and he wants to buy it. Now you can imagine people here, and Jeremiah has been telling everybody, you're going to be taken over by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian army is going to come in, things are going to be in disarray, and people say, we want to get rid of everything. And you can think of that situation now, can't you, with Brexit. And people are saying, oh, we want to get rid of this, what's going to happen? I'll get rid of that. But you can be sure there are people who want to buy things up, and that's exactly what Jeremiah was encouraged to do. He goes out and he buys that field. His faith and his trust in God, that God says, once I've punished the nation, I'm going to restore the nation again, and you will all be back worshipping me, and I will be your God. And not only does Jeremiah go out there and buy up the field, he goes out of his way to make sure that all the right documentation is done. He buys it. He gets the documents signed. He gets them all properly sealed and recorded for the future. And then he puts the document in a safe place because he knows he's going to come back and he will find his property is still there. For thus, in verse 32 of chapter 32, verse 15, he says, for thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, your houses and your fields and your vineyards will all be possessed again in this land. What a man of faith. A man who's in prison and yet makes all these arrangements. And what does he say in chapter 32, verse 17? He says, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too hard for you. Because there in verse 37 of chapter 32, he says, I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Yes, indeed, God has given him this command: call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and wonderful things which you never knew. And yet, when we come to ourselves and we compare ourselves with that, what a total contrast we often find in our own lives. You know, how slow we are to take our needs and our requirements, our requests to God in prayer. Here is our God who loves us, who saved us, who's given us his precious word, and all through Scripture we are encouraged at all times to pray at all times to God. And you know, when you go through the Old Testament, you find that God just loves to be amongst his people. He wants to be in amongst his people. He wants the people to rely on him. And yet sometimes we hold back. I don't think any of us ever forget to have a meal if we're feeling hungry, do we? If we feel hungry, straight to the cupboard and we have a bite to eat. If we go home tonight and you're feeling tired, we're off to bed. Nothing stops us forgetting our creature comforts. And we don't stop and hold back if we want to get the best deals that we possibly can when we go shopping. We don't forget those of our creature comforts. We do everything that helps us to feel good, to feel warm, comfortable. But sometimes we forget about our spiritual needs and we leave that to hang. We spend a lot of time, don't we, in worldly things. But how much time do we really spend seeking God's guidance? And yet, we give so much to our worldly ways. And yet the Bible says clearly, when we draw near to God, then God will draw near to us. The Bible tells us to take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. And you know, it's a command. And yet we don't always do it. But what do we do when somebody tells us that they're having a difficult time? What do we say to them? How often do we tell people, you should have called me. I could have come round and helped. We could have rallied round and helped you. We tell that to other people. We'll help you. We'll encourage you. You should have called me. And that's what God is saying to us as Christians. You should have called me. Why are you suffering? Why are you going through weeks or troubles? Call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and wonderful things that you did not know. And there we have it. But then we can look at other parts of the Scriptures as well, and we can get similar encouragement. If we're thinking of lingering before we get on our knees to pray, what about the prodigal son? Billy was preaching on the prodigal son not so long ago. There was this man who went out. How long did he ponder around? How long did he eat the husks before he said at last, I've had enough. I will arise and I will go to my father's house. I will arise and go to my father's house. He plucked up the courage. And what do we find there? There was the father waiting for him. The father was looking for him, was longing for him to return. How long do we often think that we can solve our own problems before we come to the Lord in the attitude of prayer? And God is commanding us, just as he commanded Jeremiah, to pray without ceasing, to cry out, Lord, teach me to pray. You know, we can call on the Lord at any time. We can call in whatever situation we're facing. Talking to people, and it's amazing, some Christians are very good at it. One couple I've known for many years and said, you know, many years ago they said to us, we even pray when we're looking for a car park space. We don't want to wander around. And when you get to know them, that's exactly what they did. When they were looking for something, we'll pray about it. Simple things, But they were a people of faith, and they prayed. They were a people of prayer, and they prayed for all things. We can pray to God, seeking his hand on every aspect of our lives. And we could quote so many scriptures to give us that encouragement. Call unto me. And Jesus said, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never, never suffer the righteous to be moved. And he tells us to call upon him in a day of trouble and I will deliver you. Pour out your heart upon him. And there's other, many, many other verses that we could share. There's that wonderful verse when it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. And then actually when you look at the interpretation of it, it really says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. And knock and keep on knocking. And there's that wonderful passage in scripture, doesn't it? That the man who kept knocking at midnight when he was looking for some bread. Yes, because when you keep knocking, if you were to knock somebody's door, they would soon get up and open it. I remember being on holiday and they always tell you, if you leave the hotel, always take your pass with you or you won't get in. And of course, there's always somebody who doesn't do that. And when they come at 2 a.m, and they're knocking on the door, usually find the following day, it's the person who's nearest the door. They get fed up hearing the knocking. I got up and I opened the door to let them in because I wanted to get back to sleep. And that is the illustration, isn't it, that God is giving us. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And so here we find that that's what God was saying to Jeremiah. He said, I am here for you. Even though he was in prison. Even though he was in prison. Going through a difficult time because he was serving God. Yet God was faithful to him. You know, if any of us get ill, we talk about hospitals. By gum, we pop down to the doctor quickly. We want an appointment right away, don't we? If the car has problems, we're down at the garage like a shot, aren't we? Down to the garage to get it fixed. If you've got a leak, oh, we're not having a leak for long, are we? We get a plumber right away, somebody around it. We want these things sorted out. And certainly if you've got toothache, we're round at the dentist. We don't suffer these human things for very long. And God is saying to us, when you call unto me, I will answer you and I will show you great and wonderful things. And there was Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 17, when he says, there is nothing too hard for our God. And in Hebrews it tells us to therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And of course, if we go into the New Testament, do we not find Paul facing the same problems? If you go to the end of Acts, you find that Paul is carted off because he's standing out preaching the word of God. And the Jews didn't like it. And so he ends up in prison. And when he's in prison, we often find that Paul is writing. He goes through problems. We know the troubles he's been through. And Paul is saying to God in Corinthians 12, isn't he? Lord, what about this? And God says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. But Lord, what about this? My grace is sufficient for all your needs. Amen. Yes, he is. In Philippians it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto the Lord. And what happens when we do that? That passage gives us the answer. For then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and wonderful things that we never knew. And we could go into the Old Testament and we could pick out some of these great saints of God. And you know, when God said something was going to happen, they went to watch to see that it was going to happen. They expected God to make it happen. They didn't carry on saying, well, maybe it will. They believed, they trusted in God, and they waited with great expectation that God would make it happen. And it did, because they drew close to God. They had faith to trust in Him.